Randy. Sorry I missed the check-in. I was mowing the lawn. My quick story, 2 years ago, I got a bug from two special friends and gentlemen that are in the club, WX5DF, Doug Forsyth, and WFIFN, W5IFN, Harold Black, sat on either side of me that night 2 years ago, and I stayed the entire night. I got out there about 7 o'clock and ran until probably about 7 in the morning. Right? And enjoyed it immensely, and fortunately I wasn't able to make it last year. I was out of town. This year we were going to be out of town, but because of the National Forest in Colorado being closed, I will be there. So I'm looking forward to it and getting some contacts and meeting some new people.
Well, that's great, Randy. Awesome. Yeah, and, you know, sitting between those two folks who I know and are great operators, you probably had a really, really good time. Good. Well, I look forward to meeting you out there. I hope I get to see you, Randy, and got you in here and got you checked in. Appreciate you checking with us tonight. And I think, Phil, did you have a recheck?
Yes, I did. This is for Claire, okay?
Claire, are you still with us?
KM4UPN, I'm still here.
Hey, Claire, yeah, you probably heard all of us talking about it, but our field day will be this Saturday night and Sunday. We're going to have it at the Red Cross Building that's located on the south end of Westheimer Airfield across the street from where I live, over here at the airport. You have to kind of wind around the little streets to get back into the Red Cross Building. But we would love for you to come out and join us, take a look. And if you show up at noon on Saturday, you get free sandwiches. About 2 o'clock Saturday, you'll have an opportunity to take a general test if you already have your general. And you can check that out. We've got HF radio set up. You'll be able to operate HF radio and just have a really good time. And then if you hang around late enough, we have supper on Saturday evening. So we would love to have you come in and join us and take a look and see what it's all about. That's all I have, KD5UGO.
Okay, invitation extended. Hope you can join us, Claire. It's down in Norman. All right, let's see. Anybody else? Any late miss, mister, or anybody else who want to recheck, call Net Control now.
Kilo 5, Quebec, Sierra, Quincy, and Marlow.
KC5, MXA Mobile.
Okay, I got two. Hey, Quincy, good to hear you there. Kilo 5, Quebec, Sierra. And our very own Lucky is operating mobile. So let's start there with you, Quincy, and we'll move over to Lucky. KK5QS, Quincy.
Yeah, good evening, Victor, everyone on the net. I didn't catch the question of the night, so if you want to let me have it real quick, and I'll see if I can play along. KK5QS.
You betcha, Quincy. Our question of the night is an interesting field day experience that you had. And they have ranged from interesting to hilarious. So tell us about your field day experience.
Well, I've only been licensed 9 months, but I have a very interesting one. I've been working in the Northeast for the past 2 months. And I run across a gentleman on a local 2-meter repeater there in New York State. And he asked me if I'd be interested in joining his contest club for the weekend. It was a K2LIM contest station. Let me reset. And so I go out there Saturday morning for the VHF contest. And oh my goodness, it was beautiful. He had 4 to 5 towers for each band. He had 10 bands total, microwave, beams, arrays, rotors, radios, amps. I mean, I was in on cloud nine. But anyway, I got in the hot seat and I worked a lot of stations and worked a lot of people back here on six. So it was quite an experience. And I was working maybe about 2 to 3 a minute, and my head was about to explode.
That's awesome, Quincy. That's awesome. Man, that's a really neat experience, and that would be kind of fun. It sounds like quite a contest station there. And that sounds a lot like field day, as you get in there, and they're just going so fast that, you, like you say, your head's about to explode. Awesome, Quincy. Well, I appreciate you checking in. I got you down on the list here, on the roster here, and checked in and stuff. Appreciate you checking in tonight. Hope you can make it over to field day. Look forward to seeing you if you can. Lucky, are you still mobile with us? KG5, MXA, Lucky.
This is Lucky, KG5, MXA, mobile, coming to you from the parking garage in Oklahoma City. I don't really have any interesting field-based stories, and I'm not going to be able to make it out this year, but I just went and had dinner with my girlfriend over here at Bass, and we had a fantastic time, so just wanted to check in and say hi and send greetings to everybody. KG5 MXA Mobile, back to you.
Awesome there, Lucky. Well, appreciate your checking in, and thanks for taking the time to do so. It sounds like you're out having a good time tonight, and that is awesome. And darn, sorry you're not getting to be at field day, but hey, that happens, and there's always next year. Hopefully, fingers crossed and all that kind of stuff. So anyhow, all right, last call. Anybody? Late miss visitors or anything else? Call Net Control now. Okie dokie dokie. Well, thanks for participating in tonight's Net, because without all of you, there is no Net. Again, we thank the South Canadian Amateur Radio Society for the use of the repeater. Good night and 73. This is your alternate substitute Gossip Net host, Victor. K5VL, and I now return this frequency to normal amateur use, whatever in the world that is. K5VL.
Victor, if you're still out there, I got a quick follow-up question. I did not articulate mine well enough. KG5QEZ.
Yes, sir, DJ. K5VL.
Station will have a call, and I assume it's going to be on the in the website, or is it just the regular W5NOR? They operate under that.
I need to ask. I mean, in the past, we've operated as W5NOR as that station, but it seemed like I heard something different than that this time, maybe because we're operating out of the Red Cross building. Is there anyone out there that could comment on that?
AG5DV.
Yeah, go ahead, Ed. Straighten us out.
We will be operating under the standard club call, W5NOR, and the GOTA station will be operating under Gary's call again, WB5ULK. So just the standard two.
Okie dokie, thank you, sir. There you go, DJ.
And perfect. And so starting at 1 on Saturday, I guess they just start, grab a band, grab a channel, start giving out the call, and just got to find them if you can, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, because what would happen if you were just, let's just say you were sitting in front of a visual band scope, for instance, and you could see the entire spectrums out there from A to Z, basically, except for the warp bands, and, you know, we don't get on those 12 and 17 meters. You would just see the entire bands light up, and, I mean, it's pretty amazing. You know, of course, it's going to depend on conditions and things like that, but you know, finding a space to jump in there, you might, let's just say you're on 20 meters and you thought, hey, I'm gonna get to 14.225, and you're ready to go, and you key up and you're, you know, quadrupling with four other stations. It's kind of like that.
Roger, roger. I didn't know if there was a game plan for the field day itself as far as the operators going. Do they, like, go towards one frequency first and start migrating kind of towards another as the bands change throughout the day? Or easiest way to find the club, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, they may have a plan that I'm not aware of. I just know that the best laid plans on field day is try to find an open slot and go for it. I don't know what the antenna situation is out there. I've missed the last two club meetings. I'm going to learn a lot about Saturday sometime when I get out there. So, it depends on our antenna situation and what we're doing and what bands we're on and what we can find, probably.
I appreciate that. So, just kind of wondering where I could listen if I can't make it on Saturday. So, K5VL, KG5QZ73, sir.
Okay, and you can always give one of us a phone call, and we can tell you if we've where we're at on the band if we have a slot. So, I think you may have my number. I know you probably got Denny's number and a few others. So just make a call, and I can tell you where we are.
A good deal. Radio don't work. Use cell phone. Gotcha.
I know it's cheating, but sometimes that's the way. Yeah, we'll be one of the stronger stations on the air for you, so you can count on that part anyhow. All right, DJ, I'm going to get out of here. Good to hear you, sir. Good talking to you. K5VL.
K5CKK.
All right, Jeff, I'm here. KG5QZ.
What's going on, DJ?
Man, my mouth is on fire. I tell you what, I've eaten some leftovers from Sunday. Pork tenderloin, a little bit of beef tenderloin wrapped in bacon. Just a couple, one little bite there. We've done some little individual, like two-bite size, little baby filet mignons to go with the pork loin. But, man, I got the wisecrack idea to put a couple of drops of my sister sent me a habanero condiment is what it says on the outside of the container, something made in Texas. And I tell you what, I'm trying to recoup from that.
I bet you are. I've never had anything with habanero that I know of, but I have heard that it's generally pretty hot.
There are different levels, and it don't say the Scovilles or whatever they use to measure that on the side of the container. It just says try a small amount, and it's known to be very hot. And, you know, I did, and it's habanero is a weird deal, man. You can have a little bit of it, and it's sweet. I don't know how else to describe it, almost like a cantaloupe or a yellow bell pepper flavor. And, you know, a bite or two, and you got some tingle, you got a little warmth, you're like, yeah. That's pretty good. Then you keep taking bites. That's where you screw up.
Roger, roger. Oh, boy. Hell no. Not for me.
And eating dinner, you got to wash your hands and go use some eye drops to flush your eyeballs and hope that somehow the stuff on your hand that didn't wash off, because it won't, don't get in your eyeball. But I was using a fork, so I don't think it climbed up that far. But, man, I tell you what. I had jalapeno in my eyeball one time, square on juice, and it was not fun.
Roger, roger. Yep, that'd be a mess for sure.
That year that happened, we were making a jalapeno popper. My sister got the bright idea, and she makes the best one. I tell you what, I bought the biggest, nicest ones. I could eat those things raw 6 weeks from Sunday. They were fine. But you start cutting and seeding and doing this and doing that, and you wash your hands and everything else, and something got in my eye, and I went there to try to do something. Next thing I know, my eye didn't feel good at first, and I couldn't feel it. And never seen a big boy lay on his back on a couch with somebody else squirting stuff and trying to pick out that contact out of his eyeball. And I had to end up scratching it. Whatever got in there scratched, I went to the doctor like that Monday. But, yeah, the torture in between with the jalapeno juice was not good.
No, I bet it was not.
funnier thing like that ever was my dad, I don't know, we were high school age, and my stepsister. And anyway, we go to an old school barbecue joint. They're not even there anymore. It's a shame, but they're just in the wrong part of town. They stayed as long as they could, and guy got old, and you know how it is. They just, anyway. They always serve your dinners. They give you extra stuff on the side, a little onion, you know, a little pickle. And anyway, a little pepper laying there. And my dad took a bite or two of his. I was waiting. Pretty warm. Okay, so I took a little bite of mine, and I'll just wait and see. I always know better. And my stepsister reached over there, took a bite, little bite, then took a bigger bite, looks around. But that ain't that hot. It's actually kind of sweet. This thing was a green chili. Or actually not a chili, but like a green. Anyway, yes. Smaller than a jalapeno, but I tell you what, she sat there and ate about half that thing. And before we knew it, we had all the tables of tea, water, everything cleared off the table. We were asking the guy that owned the place if he had any milk in the back to bring a cup of milk. She couldn't even eat her dinner.
Boy, that's not good. She couldn't eat that. Probably means the rest of you couldn't eat it either.
We were fine. You know, my dad had most of it eventually, and after she'd done all that, about two or three bites in, I said, oh, I'm going to try it and know. And I bet it's nope, that's pretty warm. I just kind of stuck the pepper off to the side and used a little bit of juice or something on my ribs or whatever we were eating. And she sat there and couldn't eat. We had to take it home. And actually, I think I ate one of her ribs, matter of fact, because she ain't going to eat them.
Oh, no. Oh, man, that's bad, DJ.
Some other stuff with it, you know, watch what you drink, because certain things opens it up, you know, Cokes or Sprites or anything like that is worse. You may as well not drink nothing, but anyway, you always do a little at a time and let it go. My lips are coming back, though. I ain't quite as numb. They're tingling, though. But anyway, yeah, it's pretty funny. I was like, ever since then, I learned my lesson, too, because I just watching somebody else, and normally that ain't the case. Normally you got to do it yourself and screw up something. But anyway, we made a few things around here a little bit too hot to eat. And, my wife's dad brought me some sauce one time called Biker Jerry's or Crazy Jerry's or something, made by bikers. Anyway, I was making chili one night, same kind of thing. I put a couple of drops in a bowl and stirred it all in good, had a bite or two. Ain't nothing what I'm used to eating. I put a couple more. The thing was gelatinous like molasses, and so I'm kind of barely tapping the back of the bottle in a quarter teaspoon, half teaspoon, a bit of, you know, good-sized glob, but not huge, fell in it. I forget it. I'd already tasted some before I even put it in there and see what it was going to do. I stirred that in, and I think it's the only time in my life I've never been able to finish a bowl of chili.
Told you the chili story, haven't I?
Yeah, but let's hear it again.
Well, when I was going to school down in Gainesville, a friend of ours, mine and my cousins, made some chili one night, and he had a small can of cayenne pepper. And wanted to put some of it in there, but didn't know how much. So, he just dumps it. Oh, boy. It burned both ways. And we had 3 days worth of it to freaking eat.
2 days later, you can't even eat nothing else because it just, you know, it bonds with it and comes on out. You're always better off putting a little in and testing and going as you go. You know, that's how chili cooks guys do them. But, man, some guys like it screaming hot. I can't stand that. If you can't eat more than a spoonful or two, I'm out, those chili cook-off things. But, you know, there's something to be said for having some good spicy chili. But chili powder is one of those few things, just a good amount. It may open your sinuses. It lights you off from the beginning, but it goes away. It fades pretty quick. But, that's a big but. Too much will stick around for days.
Roger. Anyway, no, I people know. Yeah. That's one of those deals. It kind of does that. Lug Ream, that was a Friday night when he made it, so we had two nights, even three nights of drinking. So that was a good deal too.
Yeah, it's like you don't wonder. I didn't take in that much. How did it all come out of it? Yeah, it's always one of those things. You got to watch it. But, you know, one of the weirdest pots I'd ever made, man, was we were going to do it upright. It was a cold winter night, and went to the local Walmart food market, not the big Walmart, but that little food market thing. We lived in town, and some ice was coming in, and we knew it was going to be a couple days. And anyway, run by there. They didn't have meat. They had no hamburger. I bought some organic hamburger made from, like, free-range chickens or something. Stuff was, like, $8 or $6, whatever, for a pound. I mean, stupid price compared to hamburger meat. You know, that's all they had. I was like, well, I guess this will work. And anyway, it's kind of weird when you cook it. But anyway, we got that all done. But I had put the chili pack flavor, McCormick chili pack flavor in that thing. And when I cooked the meat and put all that over into the sauce, and I used some, the chili fixins Rotel. That's always a good, you know, thing. But then with the chili fixins, got extra chili stuffs in it. And then we had those roasted diced tomatoes, Del Monte or whatever, and chili fixin something on it. I grabbed everything and said chili fixin on it, and I made me it was over a gallon probably. And same thing on that. You know, the first day, it was a little too much. However, I will say this, we, ate some the next day, and I froze about half of it, and the next day it wasn't as bad. That stuff I froze, when I defrosted it and re-cooked, or not heated it up, didn't cook it, but just got it up to about 165, reheated it, I tell you what, that stuff simmered out, and to this day is one of the best pots of chili I think I've ever made in my life.
What now?
Said I cooked a gallon. First night it was almost too hot to eat, and then the next